Morning, everyone. This is David Corris, co-chair of the Finance Committee, and this morning we have a joint meeting of the Finance Committee and the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committees. I will call the meeting to order at 10:01 a.m., and I will start with a roll call, first of the Finance Committee, co-chair Parker Wise.
Here.
John Johnson.
Susan will be here shortly.
You still there, David? You just...
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
David, I'm here. I'm here, David.
Okay. Got it. Thanks, John. Tom Patton.
Here.
John Flores.
Here.
And Paul Hinch.
Here.
Okay, all members of the Finance Committee are present, and for Audit, Compliance, and Governance, it is the same members, myself, Paul Hinch, Tom Patton, John Flores, and I believe Carlo Leone is absent. Carlo, please confirm. Okay, with a quorum of both committees, we will first entertain a motion to approve the November 15th minutes of the joint meeting of these same two committees.
I'll make that motion, David. I'll make
that motion. By John Johnson. Is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Parker. Any comments, questions, or amendments to the minutes? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
John Flores abstains. I wasn't there.
Yep. Thanks, John. Noted. Okay. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Andrew, are there any members of the public on the line who wish to speak at this time?
Oh, let's see. The public line is open. If there are any members of the public who wish to speak, please press *6. To unmute your line. Again, that's *6 to unmute your line, and please state your name.
Okay, hearing no members of the public. Did someone else just join?
That might be this other line here.
Okay, got it. Okay, next item on the agenda is item number 4, which is an executive session to discuss the draft audit report. We figured we would start at the committee in executive session, give an opportunity for some back and forth, and then we will come out of executive session and discuss the outcome of the audit, and then the walkthrough at the board meeting will be fully in the public session. So I will start by reading a resolution to go into executive session for purpose of discussing the draft report. Resolved that pursuant to Section 1-210, subsection B1 of the General Statutes of Connecticut, by a two-thirds vote of the members of the Finance Committee and Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee, present and voting, the joint committees hereby approve to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing a draft audit report by independent auditors Cohen Resnick. And I would like to note that we would invite into executive session staff, including Ulysses, Veronica, and Andrew, as well as our auditors from Cohen Resnick, who are represented by Melissa Ferrucci and Tina Chokas. Ulysses, do you want to first certify that going into executive session is in the public interest?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
So moved, David.
Moved by John Johnson. Is there a second?
Tom,
second.
Parker. Second by Tom. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. We will go into executive session at 10:06 a.m. Andrew, please manage the lines accordingly.
Sure, will do. All right, the lines are reconnected.
Great, thank you. Okay, we are coming out of executive session at 10:39 a.m. No votes or actions were taken. We had a discussion around the draft audit report. As folks from the public will hear in detail at our board meeting, very positive report, no financial findings, and all but one of the recommendations from prior years addressed, with a minor one outstanding, and some good direction for where we should focus our energy going forward, and a lot of positive comments around staff's ability to provide information in a complete and a timely manner. So really great work from Ulysses, Veronica, Lori, and the whole team. And thank you to Melissa and Tina and the whole team at Cohen Resnick for continuing to help us through this process. Having external eyes and recommendations is always much appreciated. Any comments anyone from the either committee wants to make before I entertain a resolution to recommend that the audit report for fiscal 22 be sent to the board of directors for acceptance? Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make one comment. I just want to echo David that. This is Tom Patton. That I thought the audit process was a very good one this year. I think the finances of the Port Authority are well buttoned up. There's great cooperation between the authority and the OPM, overall, I thought it was a very, very good process, a good year, and a good report. So congratulations to the staff for accomplishing that.
Amen.
Yeah, and I'll just add, Tom, you have really stepped in a meaningful way with your relevant expertise, and the authority is appreciative of that. It's been a lot of help.
Well, thank you. Welcome.
Is there a motion to recommend approval by the board of the draft audit report?
So moved.
Moved by John Forrest. Is there a second by John Johnson?
Second.
Any comments or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Tina. And we'll talk to you again at 12.
Thank you all. Have a good one. See you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll move on to the Finance Committee agenda. And Veronica, I'll pass it over to you to go through item 6A. Everyone has in their attachment the financial update through November 22.
Okay, thank you. Ulysses, did you want to say something before I started with the numbers?
No, I'm going to defer to you there, Veronica. Please proceed. Oh,
okay, great. As usual, I've included general operations report, the core bond report, and the latest report that I have on the HDA numbers. And that comes from ACOM. General operations, I just want to point out under revenue, I am expecting $12,915 from the state DAS for the sale of the Ford Explorer. I put it in the remarks section because I can't record it as revenue just yet because it has not appeared in our bank account. Payroll expenses, as expected, we're right on track. Things are posted up to the latest payroll that we have gotten paid for. In the contractual area, no big big items. You know, we will be receiving another invoice on the Cohen Resnick audit for the balance there. Reagan Communications is on track. The same way with A&A Office Systems, which basically supports our copier at the old Saybrook office. There really isn't anything else in the contractual area. I did give you a separate report right behind the general operations, which gives you a little bit more detail that was requested by a board member last month on internal versus external legal expenses. So you do have that. We did have some travel, which I posted. Andrew did a work-related trip to Boston, and both Andrew and Ulysses also attended a conference in Alexandria, Virginia. Administrative and general expenses on track, nothing unusual. Our IT support is on track. I did make the distinction between utilities, electric at the state pier, which our expenses to date is $276, and the expenses that we've been paying for water and sewer, fire, stormwater at the pier. As of the end of November, we've spent $8,327, and I do expect that number to increase as we go through fiscal year 2023. But I believe that we do have enough in the budget of $43,550 to cover what our expenses will be come June 30th for the water, sewer, and stormwater. We are working with Gowie, who is our insurance broker. Ulysses and I met with them, I guess, twice in the last 2 weeks, trying to nail down the policies that will be in place for the marine liability down at the state pier, and then the normal insurances that the CPA carries for employment and cybercrime, et cetera. Everything, I don't see any problems there. Everything is within budget. I do have to apologize. I failed to include the numbers for the general operations cash account. It's ethics account number 6805 for the beginning balance of July and the ending balance of November. I can tell you, I think what happened was that I had an extra column in there where I had the revised budget for 2022 and hid that column. So therefore, it took away the ending balance for the cash account. But I can tell you what it is verbally. As of November 30th, the ending balance in Essex 6805 is $1,577,747. So next month you will see. I'll make sure that I include that in the report. It was just an error on my part when I hid some columns. The other reports that I have, I mentioned the legal expenses. As you can see, we have a breakout between internal, legal and bond, could be permitting. But it also has to do with projects that are in core, like the Long Island Sound, and then, of course, the State Pier. And then we have external matters, and as you can see, it's a variety of subject matters, the Pilot Commission admin hearing, FOIA, and the Department of Justice subpoena. The next report is the core bond project report. I'm slowly but surely entering things that are in core that are sitting there as core projects and making sure I account for them in QuickBooks. And you have to understand the money that I have identified in the core project bond report is like a subsidiary ledger for the CPA. This money is not cash, if you will. It's not a cash account for CPA. It's money that has been authorized by the State Bond Commission, but it's sitting in core. But we have access to it, and we are able to pay bills that are related to a particular core project that is still ongoing or will start. We have Ship 1, Ship 2 projects that are now included in QuickBooks. I've added quite a few, which you'll see pop up next month when I brief you as of December 31st. It's taken a while. I want to make sure that what's in QuickBooks matches core, but it's important to me that I have documents that substantiate the numbers that I'm entering into QuickBooks, and I'm slowly but surely gathering those documents, like a public act that authorized the money, like a B-107 that we actually get from OPM to show us what our allotment and allocation is. So it's a process, but we're getting there. We're getting there. And the last report, like I said, this is an ACOM report that we get, and it's really basically the encumbered soft costs and hard costs, if you will, and the available balance remaining for the State Pier construction project. Any questions?
I got a couple of questions, if you don't mind, John.
Okay.
We were obliged to pay $100,000 to Ledge Light Foundation. Sometimes I think we agreed to do that in the summer. Was that money paid? Is that out of our account? Was that bill paid? Remember that
Ledge Light. I'm not making a connection. I really don't have any background on that.
It's in the encumbered soft costs of the State Pier project. I don't know off the top of my head whether the funds were transferred or not, but that, Veronica, is where that shows up in the soft costs of State Pier.
Okay, so John, let me look into that because I need to know also what Ledge Light was. And
That'd be great. I appreciate that very much.
The other
question I have, I think we agreed to increase staff by a COLA number of 5.5%. Has that come into effect yet, or is that going to come in January, or when is that raise going to be in effect, or has it already been in effect?
John, I'll respond to that. That was approved by the board, and we are making that effective for staff. Effective January 2023.
That answers the question. Thank you.
Okay.
I think that's all I got.
Any other questions or comments? I know Veronica, you said you still have some work to do on some of the core accounts, but man, it feels good to be in a place where we have at our fingertips an accurate monthly P&L, an accurate fund balance in our account, an accurate breakdown of legal expenses, an accurate summary of capital projects. It really feels like we are on the cusp of having a really complete set of information that will greatly facilitate our ability to effectively make decisions around the future of the authority. So great work.
Yeah, and on a monthly basis, David, and timely,
Yeah.
It's really fabulous.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to also echo your comments about the assistance of Tom Patton, which has been also very, very much appreciated by this executive director. I've been able to call upon him several occasions, and he has responded each time. And so I just wanted to echo your comments about the assistance that we've received from Tom Patton in this area. It's been tremendous.
You're too kind.
But accurate.
Other questions or comments on financial updates?
Hey, David, did you ever submit your expenses for the European trip?
Yeah. It's all fully paid. The final, okay. I mentioned last week, I had sort of a draft final, and that was based on me allowing Orsted to pay for the shuttle buses. We subsequently decided, Ulysses and I talking, let's just pay for everything, and I got Orsted to give me my prorated share of the shuttle buses, and so I transferred those funds. And so the final number, I might get it wrong by a dollar or two, but the final number was 1,700 and, you know, four or something like that.
Wow. For 5 days?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I was frugal. Well, any other old business? I'll consider that part of the old business discussion. Okay. Any new business for the finance committee? Okay.
David, this is John.
Yeah.
To let
go ahead.
Everybody know, I will at some point be going off the board because the new treasurer is coming on, and he'll be, you know, picking his own GC, and I don't know who he'll want on the board. I'm just giving you guys a heads up. It'll occur sometime early next year, probably January.
Well, thanks for letting us know, and thanks for your time and commitment. You've been one of our longest-running representatives of the treasurer's office, and we appreciate the consistency and your ability to kind of get your head wrapped around everything and always provide valuable input from the financial perspective. So we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it. But I told the current treasurer in the summertime that even before I knew he wasn't going to run, that, you know, this was my pro bono service, so to speak, with government service. So I'm just going to stay home and enjoy my grandkids.
Congratulations. Love the role of that, John.
Well deserved.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll move into, we've got just a couple more items of business. We'll move into the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee. I think, Parker, if you're so inclined, you are free to go, but you're obviously welcome to stay. Shouldn't be much longer.
Thanks. I'd like to hang on.
Say that again, Parker.
I'd like to hang on, if I may.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. You're definitely welcome to do so. Audit, Compliance, Governance, Item 7A are the statutorily required annual and quarterly reports. Ulysses or Andrew, when do you want to talk us through these?
Well, that report has been prepared. It is also going before the board for its approval, but it's coming before this committee prior. And so we're happy to answer any questions relative to that report. It's very comprehensive. We have one correction that we're making to one of the years. I believe it was 2021. That needs to, Andrew, what was it?
Page six.
Page six should reference the year 2021. Instead of 2021.
It should be 22. Yeah.
2022.
Yep.
This is David. I had one question. I didn't have any questions on the annual report. I had one question on the quarterly report.
It's around nomenclature, and I just want to make sure that we're consistent. So, for example, in the state peer project, it says, you know, $244 million cumulative expenditures. It's really encumbrances, and I'm fine if the answer is, for the purposes of this report, an encumbrance is considered an expenditure. I just want to make sure that's the case.
The
does that question make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. The requirement to report to OFA is expenditures for the first quarter. So they use the word expenditures. Looking at the report from the CA, ACOM, they use the word encumbered. I'm assuming that when you look at the details of the ACOM report, they are expenditures. For example, and you know, I'd have to clarify that with Marlon and Donovan.
They are not. I can say definitively that they are not expenditures. So that number there, the $244,698,000, is the encumbrance. Those are everything that is under contract with, you know, purchase orders or equivalent, but the expenditure amount is closer to $150 million. I'm being very general to the nearest $50 million, but it is substantially less than that.
Okay. Well, then I would have to get with ACOM to see what that exact expenditure number is for the first quarter, for July, August, and September.
Yeah.
Okay.
David, I got one question on the expenditures. Have we paid anything on the $32 million dredging contract to Weeks?
Yes, we have.
To Cashman, yes.
Yes, the Cashman, and it's
the Cashman. I'm sorry.
A little less than $9 million of the $32 million.
Okay,
that's set aside. We have $32 million set aside for that.
And how are they doing with that project? With the dredge project?
They started on time, and that's going very, very well. We are still working within the permitted period, which ends January 31.
Right, right.
But I'm going to be reporting on that in just a few minutes. At the board meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
All right.
Yeah.
The other thing on the New London State Pier project, apropos to what David was saying, is I think it needs to have a better explanation because the numbers don't seem to add up. We start with a balance of $255 million. We have expenditures or encumbrances of 245, but our balance is only 2 instead of 10-ish. So something needs to be explained there. Unless I'm reading it wrong.
No, I think you're right, Joe.
I would have to ask ACOM to explain that. I mean, I have the total funding available of the 255.5, soft cost 26.7, GMP encumbered to Kiewit, et cetera, is 217.9. And they have a remaining balance of 10.8. Projected estimated soft cost, ACOM, is 8.7. for a remaining available balance of 2.074. Like I said, I'll have to.
Veronica, those numbers sound like they added up just quickly in my head. It's just that on the sheet, you look at it, and it's just going to beg questions from people.
Yes. Well, the reporting on the OFA quarterly report, you know, should I give them more information or should I just give them what they asked for? Because they're asking for a beginning balance, revenues for the quarter, expenses for the quarter, and an estimated cumulative end of year balance. So yeah, I mean, AECOM did give information as far as how they arrive at the ending balance of $2.2074. But
it sounds like a soft cost. The additional soft costs weren't taken into account or something.
I think that's absolutely the delta would be those $8 million or so unencumbered anticipated soft costs. They're not showing up in any of those lines, any of the last two lines.
But AECOM did identify it in their report of 8.7 projected estimated soft costs. So I don't know. Do we want to include that in the OFA quarterly reports to maybe avoid some questions from OFA?
I think we would have to, because I think unlike the two funds above, this one just has a gap, and
Okay, well, I can certainly give them the detail because AECOM gave it to me. What I have to still research with AECOM is the expenditures of 244 to see what it really is for that first quarter. Okay.
Right. I think as a first step, if you add that eight and change to the bottom line, this will be an accurate depiction of encumbrances and the dollar amounts would add up. And then we would need to subsequently make a determination whether it should be amended to reflect expenditures rather than encumbrances, and that would take additional work. But in the meantime, I think just adding the unencumbered soft anticipated soft costs to the end of year balance would at least, you know, give a complete picture of encumbrances that adds up.
Okay.
I was happy I was able to add something in my last meeting.
You'll be missed, John. You'll be missed.
Absolutely.
We'll bring you on as an advisory role.
we will bring this
back. Advisor John Florence.
We will bring this back to you at our January meeting.
Great.
Okay.
Other questions or comments on the annual or quarterly reports? Okay. Any old business from the Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee? Okay. And Parker, it's a good thing you stayed on. I didn't realize that the final recommendation was from the Joint Committee. So I will entertain a motion from the Joint Committee to recommend approval by the Board of Directors later today of the quarterly and annual reports with the caveat that we just discussed. I guess that would have to be – I think we can punt on the distinction between encumbrance and expenditure, but we should make that one adjustment with the soft costs prior to submitting, if that's possible from staff.
Would you like a motion to that effect?
Yeah, please. It's kind of a rambling resolution, but
Andrew can straighten it out for us.
Cheers. Move by John, second by Tom.
Parker,
thanks. Any further comments or discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Great. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
By John, is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Parker.
Second by Parker. Okay. Joint committee meeting is adjourned at 11:09 a.m. Thanks, everyone. I think we got through that even a little quicker than I expected. And we'll talk to you all at noon.
Great. Thanks.
Great.
Bye.